Please stand.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? Alleluia, you have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation, may please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, sisters and brothers in Christ, today we have the story of Doubting Thomas, and it is a story that we know all too well. It is a story we hear every year on the Sunday after Easter Sunday. Like clockwork, this story comes up in the lectionary without fail on this day. And so, yes, we know this story all too well. The resurrected Jesus appears quite suddenly to his disciples on that first Easter Sunday, and he shares a word of peace with them. And then Jesus shows them his hands and his side, and the disciples are then overwhelmed with joy. But there is one disciple missing from the group, Thomas. And so after this encounter with Jesus, the disciples tell Thomas that they have seen the Lord. And as we know, Thomas is skeptical. He says, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." And Thomas's words are then not a challenge to the disciples such that he's saying, "Hey, I'll believe you. I just want a little proof." He's not really saying that. No, more he is saying, "Yeah, right, there is no way I will believe unless you can produce a corpse reanimated with life. I saw him crucified, nail marks, puncture, a spear puncture and all, and I saw all this, and there's no way he's coming back." That is what he's really saying with his words. And so then a week later, the disciples are all together, and Thomas is with them, and Jesus again appears. And Jesus tells Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach your hand out and put it in my side." And in absolute disbelief and wonder, Thomas utters these famous words, "My Lord and my God." Yes, the story of Doubting Thomas is a story we know all too well. And yet there are some peculiar details in this story that we probably have not given a lot of thought to. For instance, why does Jesus wait 7 days before appearing again to the disciples? And why does Jesus speak a word of peace over and over again in this passage? And why was Thomas at first not with the other disciples? Where was he? And what does it mean that Jesus says to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." These are some of the details we may never have thought about, but let's do so now and see where that may take us. Let's start with that last question. What did Jesus mean when he said, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come believe." Well, scholars believe that the story of Doubting Thomas was actually written as an apologetic, that is, a defense against those who in the gospel writer John's day were actually questioning things like, saying things like, "I can't and I won't believe unless I see Jesus' wounds for him, for myself." So John included this passage about Doubting Thomas in his gospel to speak to the skeptics in his, John's, day. Thus, the person of Thomas in this gospel reading is really meant to serve as an example for later doubters. Now, we have to remember that the people in the gospel writer John's day were very far removed from the time of Jesus' resurrection and ascension. They didn't have the luxury of having seen the resurrected Lord like Thomas. Indeed, the Gospel of John was probably composed toward the very end of the first century A.D., which would have been several decades after the events surrounding the earthly Jesus. John's community, for whom he is writing this Gospel, would not have had the opportunity then to encounter the risen Lord. And so at the end of this Gospel, John includes this tagline for his community and really for us as well. We who are even further removed from the resurrection and ascension. Jesus says, "Have you, Thomas, believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." That's us, folks. We are among the many generations of Christians since the time of John's gospel who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now, as we also said, Thomas was not there with the disciples when Jesus appeared to them on that first Easter, and many Christians over the ages have debated why that was the case. While the other disciples are hunkered down in fear, had Thomas decided instead to run away? Or was Thomas some sort of maybe loner, preferring to be by himself than with the rest of the group? Or was he off by himself trying to sort out everything that had happened? Or, and I think this is the likeliest scenario, or did Thomas think that it was all over? Jesus had been arrested, he had been tried, and he had been crucified. End of story. And although there was this rumor that Jesus' tomb was empty and that Mary had seen the Lord, maybe Thomas didn't put a lot of stock into that rumor. And so he was probably convinced that there was no further reason to associate with the other disciples, and so he up and left. But maybe the gospel writer John here has something else in mind when he included the story of Doubting Thomas in his gospel. Now we ask the question about why Jesus appears to disciples on the first day of the week, that first Easter Sunday, and then waits another full week until he appears again. Why take so long before making himself known again? Was Jesus busy doing something? Did he want maybe Thomas to have some time to think about what the disciples had said to him, that they had in fact seen Jesus? What is going on with regards to this space of time? Well, let's think about it. The resurrection of Jesus happened on a Sunday, and Jesus' disciples are gathered on that evening when Jesus suddenly appears to them. And then, a week later, Jesus appears again on a Sunday. In short, it is quite possible that by the time John is writing his gospel near the end of the first century A.D., It's quite possible by that time that Sunday, the first day of the week, had already emerged as the day of gathering and worship for Christians. And John then is using this detail associated with the day of worship, to fashion the story of doubting Thomas. Again, let's think about it. When we gather together on the first day of the week here, do we not believe that Jesus is truly present with us? Jesus appears to the disciples on each Sunday in the gospel story about Thomas, just like Jesus is present with us each Sunday. And what did Christians do when they gathered together? They shared a word of peace, which is why Jesus says, "Peace be with you," when he greets the disciples in their gathering each Sunday. And in our present day worship service too, do we not exchange a greeting of peace with one another? And what else do Christians do on Sunday worship but profess their faith, like Thomas does in this gospel? Thomas sees Jesus and says, "My Lord and my God," which was an early Christian creed. Christians were those who professed Jesus is Lord and God. And so too in our apostles and Nicene creeds, do we not profess faith using slightly different words than Jesus is our Lord and God? In worship, we also are empowered by the Holy Spirit and experience the forgiveness of sins. Just as in our gospel reading, Jesus breathes on the disciples and gives them the Spirit to forgive others. Yes, indeed, given all the evidence we've listed, it seems quite possible that the gospel writer John here was using the template of worship in the early Christian church to compose this story of doubting Thomas. And so then there is another message we are to take away from this story, aside from that message where we started this sermon, that we who have not seen the resurrected Jesus and yet have come to believe are blessed by Jesus. There's still another message here that we're to receive. Like Thomas, when we miss church, for instance, we miss that very appearance of Jesus in the community of believers. We miss the body of Christ. When we miss church, we miss glimpsing the resurrected Lord. Notice in our gospel reading, it is only when the community is gathered together that Jesus appears, first to the disciples minus Thomas, and then a week later with Thomas. Jesus doesn't appear to Thomas when he is alone, but only when there is the gathering of the disciples, the people of God. It is the gospel writer John's way of saying that when the community of the faithful is gathered on Sunday, there the resurrected Lord is. There in the gathered community is the body of Christ, because the community is the body of Christ. And if we want to take this analogy still a step further, we could say that it is in the gathered community that bears the marks of sacrifice that Jesus is truly present. Notice that each time Jesus appears in this gospel reading in the gathering of his disciples, he displays his wounds. And so extrapolating from that image, one can conclude that, to be sure, Jesus is present. Jesus is revealed in the Christian assembly that bears the marks of sacrifice. And this message may have been, in fact, very comforting to John's community, for whom John composes this gospel. Perhaps his own community showed the marks of sacrifice literally on their bodies. Perhaps they were a community that suffered persecution for their faith in Christ Jesus. Who knows for sure, but it is quite likely. And so this message would have been very comforting to his community to know that Christ was truly present with them, even in their example of sacrifice. And so the question before us today we need to ask then is, what are the churches today that bear the marks of sacrifice? Where have we seen the resurrected Christ appear in community? Well, how about those churches bombed in Sri Lanka just a week ago, where hundreds were killed and hundreds more were injured? The members of those churches bear the physical marks of sacrifice on their bodies, the effects of terrorism. And how about the black churches in Louisiana that were burned down a few weeks ago? The members of those churches bear the emotional scars of sacrifice in their spirits, the effects of racism and hate crimes. And our gospel reading today assures such people, those people of God, that Jesus is present to those who have suffered wounds because of their sacrifice of faithful witness in their church communities. God is present with them as God is present with us. And Jesus says to those communities, "Peace, peace be with you." What Jesus is saying in such words is, do not let anger get the better of you. In such instances, Jesus is saying, do not let fear overcome you. Instead, Jesus says, peace be with you. And in light of such atrocities perpetrated on churches, for those of us who might then maybe doubt God's presence with us, for all those who might question whether God is present at all, I think we are to turn to churches like those in Sri Lanka and the churches in Louisiana, that they might be a witness even unto us. That here are faithful communities who still boldly proclaim the faith and the goodness of God in their caring for each other and in the expression of the gospel to the world around them, even in the midst of their horrific suffering. Jesus is present with the wounded community. Jesus is present with the wounded community that offers the gospel in sacrifice and offering to others. And God says through Christ Jesus to those communities, peace. As God says peace to us. Do not doubt, but believe. Do not doubt, but believe. Thanks be to God. Amen.